Hey everyone, I'm Jaden,
And I'm Noah.
and we are the Super Gamer Bros, and this is the Super Gamer Bros podcast.
Why do you always sound so tired in this podcast?
Podcast? We're just a couple of brothers who love playing games and love talking about games, so that's what we do. No, I do
Jaden.
stuff like that. I do stuff. I just want to say I do stuff. Because sometimes you just, we get in these Zoom meetings and we're talking to each other, and you just seem out of it. So I'm just trying to get you back in.
I said you're the one who seems out of it, and I was trying to get
Oh,
you back in.
oh dear. Oh
Yes.
boy.
Yes. You're
Anyway,
so
we're
out of
here,
it, you got that backwards somehow. But I
Anyway,
wanted to tell
Noah.
you how excited I am, Jaden.
Oh yeah.
Because, today we're talking about my favorite game company again.
Ah,
One
Capcom.
of. I
Square
will give it to
Enix.
you that in the last 2 years or so, 2, 3 years, Capcom has been killing it.
You've been playing a lot of Capcom,
I mean, yeah, Resident
yeah.
Evil has been going off the charts, but also Street Fighter VI has been it's the best Street Fighter in a long time.
That's what I have seen. A lot of good reviews for Street Fighter VI, and a
Yeah.
lot of players,
Yeah,
like, shattered the record for most
they
concurrent
revamped the
users.
system and they made it they made an easy combo system so it's more accessible. And I think that's the future of fighting games. Instead of making them increasingly more technical, you make them increasingly more accessible so that anybody can learn to be good, really. Anyway.
Dude, that sounds interesting. Anyway, we're not talking about Street Fighter VI. We're talking about the other fighting game juggernaut, Tekken.
That
Oh,
is
shit.
right.
Oh, shit.
NetherRealm Studios.
NetherRealm Studios.
Yes, NetherRealm Studios, headed by Ed Boon himself out of Chicago.
Ed Boon himself, personal friend of the show,
That's
Ed
right.
Boon.
Co-creator of infamous series Mortal Kombat, obviously.
Yep.
So,
That is correct. Um,
they made, Ed Boon, he was making Mortal Kombat for like 20 years before he finally made another game. And the other game was so another one of my favorite games of all time, Jaden, because there's only one way a fighting game made by them could get better, and that's if it was all based in DC characters, which is what brings us to Injustice 2.
Yeah, we're talking about Injustice 2. Really long walk to get there, but we got there.
Man,
Like, we've
Injustice
never taken
2,
that long to say it before. That's funny.
the announcement of Injustice 2 to me was probably the hypest I have been for another NetherRealm game, because I did not expect after the first Injustice game for it to become a franchise.
Yeah, I agree with that sentiment. The first one to me definitely seemed like a one-off. Like, the story itself, I wouldn't say,
It was
was
hard to
a,
make a sequel of.
yeah, like, it wasn't a closed loop, like, oh, nothing's gonna happen. And even at the end, there was kind of a little teaser, I guess, in terms of, like, cliffhangery, but I didn't really think too much in terms of it there being a second game. I thought, they did the one, and that was it.
Absolutely. So I will tell you
Absolutely.
that this game came out after Mortal Kombat X,
Yep.
2 years, pretty much 2 years exactly. And so it was the last Injustice game. I think it came out in 2016, 15 maybe. I can't remember. It's been a while.
Injustice 2?
Yeah.
I'm gonna say 2017, actually.
Okay.
I'm gonna say 2017, and
But just like their
just.
Mortal Kombat games, Injustice 2 was everything from Injustice 1, new and improved, with a plethora of more content, characters, and story. So, to me, Injustice 2 is a complete improvement overall to Injustice 1. It was released in 2017. Good call.
Yep. Well, you got to think, because as you said, 2 years. I know for a fact Mortal Kombat X was 2015.
Jaden, why don't you tell us
Like you
about
said.
the setting of Injustice 2,
All
Jaden.
right, Noah,
Where
let
does
me
it
tell
take
you
place?
about the setting. Oh, I guess I also want to say, also, big NetherRealm fan over here, Jaden is, and
A big phony.
big phony, and loved, Injustice, and Injustice 2, I was really, really excited about as well. Mainly because the story aspect, because at the time I believed that Injustice had a better story than the Mortal Kombat series. I'll admit that opinion might have changed since playing Mortal Kombat X, Mortal Kombat 11, but you know, we'll talk about it. So, Injustice takes place on the alternate Earth 22, part of the DC multiverse. In this world, the Joker tricks Superman into killing his pregnant wife, Lois Lane, and detonating a nuclear weapon that destroys Metropolis, killing millions of people. Mad with grief and rage, Superman murders the Joker, quickly losing his moral compass. 5 years later, Superman has formed the One Earth regime to enforce global peace and rules Earth as a ruthless dictator alongside many other heroes and villains, and he kills anyone who opposes him. Batman establishes the insurgency to oppose Superman's regime, and in the first game,
This is just an
Batman
explanation of Injustice 1.
then enlisted the help of heroes from another Earth to take down Superman. Well, I was just, you know, this is the second game. I was just, you know, saying what happened, providing the backstory, and it's on Earth 22. You know, I mean, it's been a while since we talked about Injustice, Gods Among Us. Maybe people
Yeah,
don't
no, that
remember the
all made
story.
sense to me.
Absolutely, I know what I'm doing. Yeah, so I do think it's really cool. I did actually look up the specific Earth that Injustice took place on because, I don't know if it's something that had always been planned or if it was mainly due to just how popular the first Injustice game was. But it was made like an official part of the DC Multiverse as Earth 22, which I thought was very, very cool.
I'm pretty sure that was in response to the popularity of the first game. I think they knew that they had something good in the story because when they released the original game, they had that tie-in comic series that came out,
Oh, they did. I forgot about
you
that.
know, with the game or a little bit earlier. And it actually ran for a really long time. And they had another one for the second game. And I think it was pretty popular. Like, you know, a
Yeah,
lot of people played it.
I mean, I read the entire comic series for the first game, all because you know it
Yeah,
takes
so did
place over
I.
5 years, and there's, I think, like 24, 25 chapters per year, and then there's the annuals, which some very good stories the annuals are.
They're the best, actually.
Yeah, like Injustice Annual, Plastic
The
Man is
Plastic
to this
Man,
day
yep.
one of my favorite comic stories of all time. Yeah, it's just like. Yeah, no, it's good. I read the first like issue or two of the Injustice 2 comic series. I never read past that. But anyway, let's talk about the story of Injustice 2, the game. Noah, the game begins with Kara Zor-El and an infant Kal-El's escape from Krypton during Brainiac's attack on the planet. Aided by Kara's mother, they manage to escape aboard pods headed to Earth. But Kara's ship is knocked off course. Years later, prior to the events of the first game, Batman and his son Robin attempt to stop Superman's regime from executing Arkham Asylum inmates. Failing to dissuade Superman, Batman fights him, but he is attacked by Robin, who prefers Superman's methods. Batman defeats Robin, but Robin leaves with Superman to join the regime anyway after executing Victor Zsasz. Now that's a little tie into the comics for people who don't know, because in I don't know, they have to mention it in the game. I don't know why they wouldn't, but in the comics, which are also considered canon with the game, I guess that's important to mention,
Kinda.
Zsasz actually is the one who kills Alfred, breaks into the like wherever Alfred is hiding, kills him. And that's why Robin wants to kill him. At least I think in the game, I think that's still they at least mention it. Anyway,
I think
in the
they do
present.
mention that it's like a throwaway line that he killed Alfred.
In the present, 2 years after the regime's fall, Batman and his insurgency are attempting to rebuild society. They learn of a new faction, the Society, composed of villains spearheaded by Gorilla Grodd, who seeks global domination. Black Canary, a parallel universe version of Green Arrow, and a reformed Harley Quinn are tasked by Batman with stopping the Society and track them down to Slaughter Swamp, where they form an alliance with Swamp Thing. Following the villains into Gorilla City, the heroes are warned by Dr. Fate of an incoming attack, incoming threat. Black Canary and Green Arrow are abducted by Brainiac, the mastermind behind the Society, who intends to add Earth to his collection of shrunken planets. After Brainiac takes over Batman's communications hub, Brother Eye, Batman searches for allies to defeat him. While Catwoman, a double agent for Batman and the Society, rescues Harley, the reformed Flash and Green Lantern join Batman to take down Brainiac. A Green Lantern is sent to recruit Aquaman, who agrees to help after Brainiac attacks Atlantis. Meanwhile, Black Adam, Wonder Woman, and Kara, who was rescued by Adam years prior and adopted the Supergirl alias, break Nightwing and Cyborg out of prison in an attempt to reestablish the regime and defeat Brainiac. And for anyone who does not remember from the first game, Robin is Nightwing. Like earlier, you know, when
Well,
you're
Robin is
Batman.
always Nightwing, but Damian Wayne
But
is Nightwing.
Damian Wayne is Nightwing in this game. So it's not, you know, it's not Dick.
Dick Grayson's not evil.
Yeah, he's dead. What a loser.
Yeah, I actually saw here's something random. I saw a tweet from the writer of the Injustice series
Oh, Tom
where
Taylor.
somebody, yes, yeah, where somebody asked him a question about Nightwing because supposedly he also wrote DC East.
Oh, deceased.
Yeah, deceased. I read it as DC East.
Deceased,
Yeah,
I think, because it's like,
but
you know, dead.
yeah, no, I get it, but I think
Because
it's
it's a
stupid,
zombie
so I make
story.
fun of it. But yes, it is a zombie story. But Nightwing also dies in that. So a fan was asking him, like,
Oh,
"Hey,
like, what's your beef with
what's
Nightwing?
your beef with Nightwing?" And Tom Taylor was like, "I was forced to make those decisions. It was not my decision." And he was like, saying he likes Nightwing. And
Oh.
but he thought it was really stupid that Nightwing was killed by Robin in this, and he had no control over that. But he wrote it, and I was like,
Well, I mean, he wrote it
I
like
appreciate that at least.
based on their, it had to be based on
Well, it's
Injustice's
what they
story.
wanted.
So he was, I think, here's the thing. I don't think it's stupid that Damian killed him. The way he kills him is what's stupid about it.
No, it's stupid that Damian kills him. I mean,
Like,
if he like shot him or something, like if it was like a surprise attack, not
I
like
mean, it
how it
sort of
was in the
was.
no, it was
Yeah.
dumb. Anyway,
No, I mean, I agree with you, it was dumb, but, like, yeah, I don't
I
know.
just
It's
thought that was
just
really
dumb.
funny that the writer agreed that it was not the best decision.
Yeah, I no, I understand that. Anyway, I don't remember where I was. So, break Nightwing and Cyborg out of prison in an attempt to reestablish the regime and defeat Brainiac. They're defeated by Blue Beetle and Firestorm before Batman arrives. Batman frees Superman and forms a reluctant alliance with the regime members on the condition that no one is killed in the upcoming battles. Cyborg, Catwoman, and Harley go to the Batcave to free Brother Eye from Brainiac's control and defeat society members sent to stop them. Meanwhile, Wonder Woman and Supergirl fight the remaining society members in New Metropolis. When Wonder Woman almost kills Cheetah, Harley interferes, causing Wonder Woman to attack her. Superman rescues Harley from Wonder Woman and then goes to the Fortress of Solitude to confront Superman over the incident and learns of his tyranny. As Brainiac prepares to destroy Earth after collecting enough cities, the insurgency and the regime attack his ship but fail to get through its shields and seemingly lose Superman. The group decides to weaken the shields by using Aquaman's trident as a conduit for the magic of the Rock of Eternity, which Aquaman and Black Adam go retrieve. They are followed by Grodd, who has brainwashed Black Canary, Green Arrow, and Blue Beetle, but they defeat them, and Aquaman executes Grodd. Yeah, kill Gorilla Grodd. That's wild.
I don't remember that.
Oh yeah,
How did he do that?
with his trident.
That makes sense.
Like, you know, Black Adam and Aquaman, you know, they beat the guys, and
Yeah,
then
the
they beat
brainwashed
Grodd, and
guys.
then he's just laying there. And they, you know, they were both regime people, you know, they have no problems killing. So Aquaman just stabbed him with the trident and killed
Crazy.
him. Yeah. Aquaman and Black Adam weaken Brainiac's shields enough for Batman and Supergirl to board his ship. They are captured, but a still living Superman rescues them and helps Batman defeat the brainwashed Firestorm and Swamp Thing. Dr. Fate, ordered by the Lords of Order to help Brainiac, fights them, but he is defeated and freed from the Lord's control before Brainiac kills him. After defeating Brainiac, Superman takes control of the ship to restore the stolen cities, but inadvertently destroys New Metropolis and Coast City. I don't remember that. I remember him taking control, but I don't remember him
Yeah, I
destroying
don't
any cities.
understand that.
I thought he like put them back, or at least tried, or I don't know. I don't remember him destroying them.
I
As
don't
the
know. It's
others
weird.
join them, as the others join them, they become divided over Brainiac's fate. The Insurgency and Supergirl want him alive so they can learn how to restore the cities, while the regime and Aquaman want him dead for his crimes. The tension between them escalates into a fight, prompting the player to choose whether to fight as Superman or Batman. Both sides proceed to fight the other until Batman and Superman are the last ones standing. The two reminisce a final time before engaging in a final fight. This is very cool. First time NetherRealm did this, having you pick an ending, actually. Very, very cool.
I actually don't like this.
Oh, okay. That's fair. That's fair.
Well, I think Superman is clearly evil. Well, you know, it's like, I don't think the evil side should be given a chance.
I mean, it's just like the good
In
or bad
terms of,
ending.
like, the canons. Yes,
I just
but
like the
I
good or...
think it should be, like, the good. I like when there's a true. There's, like, something we all just
Well, I feel
agree
like...
the canon ending outside of, quote
I
unquote,
feel like
the.
that's the Batman ending. I feel like that's what everyone agrees is the canon ending.
No, that's the good ending. People don't agree.
Well, I don't know. I agree. So depending on the outcome of the battle, the story ends in one of the following ways. If Superman wins, he reinstates the regime, restores Earth's cities, and kills Brainiac. He later visits an imprisoned Supergirl and tells her that he wants her to co-lead an army he is forming out of aliens from Brainiac's collection. When she refuses, Superman reveals that he has brainwashed Batman using Brainiac's technology, threatening to do the same to her. If Batman wins, he depowers Superman with gold kryptonite and imprisons him in the Phantom Zone. Superman swears he will return before entering the portal. Batman then offers a Justice League membership to Supergirl, which he accepts. Batman then prepares for Superman's return. See, this is weird because in the comics, gold kryptonite, exposure to gold kryptonite, depowers Superman permanently. Like, literally no powers anymore.
Yeah.
So it's weird that, like, that's in this game, they use it, but then Batman prepares for his return. And I'm like, well, what's he going to do? He doesn't have powers anymore.
Yeah, but you know how it is. There's always ways for him to get his powers back.
I guess, yeah. Also.
And that leaves it open for the next game.
No, also, so, I mean, real quick, just talk great, absolutely fantastic story. It looks great. The cutscenes are great. The voice acting is completely on point. You know, they get a lot of the big main voice actors back. So, yeah, very, very good story. I love it.
Absolutely. Great cast of characters, more than in the first game. And they use things like the premiere skins to throw in a couple more characters in the
Oh,
story,
we'll talk
like
about that
Reverse
later.
Flash. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to bring in how they brought those more
Yeah.
characters than were playable in the story. And they also had a lot more NPCs. You know, in the first game, it kind of felt like it was only the heroes existed. There weren't really a lot of civilians and groups of crowds or NPCs or anything like that. But in this game, you know, there's a scene where the two Flashes are chasing each other through highway traffic.
Oh, yeah.
It just seems like a lot more alive universe, and there's more, you know, DC characters, good and bad, that are like kind of more out there involved. And for those of us who are, like, you know, really big DC fans, we know all those characters, so it's awesome to be like, oh, there's Reverse Flash, and he's with, you know, Gorilla Grodd.
Yep.
And Gorilla Grodd's talking about, you know, they're talking about things that about both of their rivals or something like that, and it's a line, you know, you understand a lot more if you understand the characters.
Yep.
My only problem is, I guess, the endings.
I like the endings. I mean, I don't like the bad one, obviously. I'm a good person. yeah, I don't know. I guess you could say I think they're both a little simple, but I think they're good for kind of what the game is, what your
Yeah,
choices are.
absolutely.
And also, I mean, speaking of two endings, this game also introduces the whole, in some chapters, you pick between two fighters.
That's true.
With every fight, who you want to play as. I don't know. I guess in concept, I do like this idea. There's really no difference in terms of story.
No, it doesn't. It's just who
picking
you
who
want
you
to play
play as.
as.
Yeah, there's like the dialogue is slightly different, and maybe the cutscenes are slightly different, but overall, there is no.
Right, the plot points remain the same.
Yeah, but you do for
But
trophies have to
yes.
play as every character in every scenario. So I guess it
Overall,
forces you to replay the game. Anyway, great story.
Fantastic game, fantastic story, a great sequel. You know, it was more popular than the first game, which was already wildly popular.
That is true.
And what that means to me is that we have not seen the last of Injustice.
Yeah, And I mean, I was also very hesitant about Injustice 2 in terms of the story because, you know, the first one had the whole multiverse aspect and all the heroes from Earth 1 were brought over, you know, all this different stuff. And I really wasn't sure if the game, I think I even said this to you at the time of, I don't know if the game, because also if you read the comics, you know, a lot of heroes and villains are dead from like the 5 years of fighting and the
Right, in the
insurgency and
comics, they
everything.
killed a lot of
They
characters.
kill a lot of characters. So I was very much like, I don't know if this series, if Earth 22 can stand on its own in a story without bringing the other heroes
Right,
back
they just
from
don't
the
have
other
enough
universe.
characters anymore.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know how they can do that, but also
Yeah, but weren't there
they
characters
can't
that in
necessarily.
Injustice 2 that were like dead in the comics or something like that? I thought somebody was like that.
I don't know. It's all weird. But either way, it ended up working really well. I was very happy about it. Like
Yes.
I was nervous, but it worked really well. Anyway, Noah, why don't you tell us about the gameplay from one of your favorite developers?
Yes. So, this is a game. So, other than their fantastic stories, NetherRealm makes fantastic fighting games. In my opinion, the best that exist. Obviously, a lot of people don't agree with that. So anyway,
Yeah, you're gonna get some angry tweets.
that's funny. The comment or the combat of Injustice 2 is 1v1 2D combat. Okay, just like most Mortal Kombats, just like the last Injustice. Using different combinations of directional inputs and button presses, players must perform basic attacks, special moves, and combos to try to do damage and knock out the opposing fighter, take out the health bar. In Mortal Kombat, they have the two-round system. In Injustice, it's always been different, where it is a two-life bar system, and there's a slight break once you lose one of the life bars, but it's kind of weird.
I mean, it's the two-round system, just without an announcer
No, it's
saying the
different.
rounds.
It's
It's
different. Without
basically the same.
watching,
Well,
you
that's
have
not
to
true because I
watch.
guess your health bar doesn't reset if you
Yeah,
win a
you have to
round.
watch
It's.
the
Oh, there's like a
that's basically
comparison
what it
video
is.
out there?
No, I mean like competitive gameplay.
Ah, gotcha.
What it does to the competitive gameplay is it makes comebacks really hard and very,
Oh,
very rare. Because if you
gotcha.
have like less than 50% of your last health bar and you're still working on their first health bar, it's unlikely that you're going to be able to go without taking a hit that long.
I get you. I get you.
Anyway.
All right, touche, brother. I'll give you that one. You win this round.
Yes, it is different. And I agree with
Now
you
it's
because
round
I used to
two.
feel the exact same way that it was the exact same. But it brings differences. Anyway, several staples of the Injustice series return in Injustice 2, including stage transitions, the ability to hit your character through a cinematic sequence to a different part of the stage. Environmental interactions, things in the background your character can throw or throw other characters into or jump off of, whatever. Clashes. These are basically Injustice 2's kind of like combo breaker system. You only have one, is when your second life bar is active, and you do it by holding a trigger while blocking and pointing at your foe, and it will trigger a kind of like a mini cutscene where your two fighters talk trash a little bit before you wager some bar, and whoever wins gets a bonus, whether it's offense or defense, it's different. And yeah, that's pretty much the clash system. And then there's also the character traits. Injustice 2 has a combat system that is on a console controller. Any console controller, there's four face buttons. Three face buttons are the light, medium, and heavy attacks, and then the fourth is the character trait. Right, so the character trait isn't used for combos or anything like that unless it's a specific character thing. So what it is a unique move that every character has that gives them different abilities, whether it be combo potential, damage buffs, defense buffs, armor, all kinds of things like that. For instance, Green Lantern has a buff where he hits his power ring into his lantern. And he gets buffed up with a bright color around him, whatever color you chose. And he gets a damage buff, and his combos are better. Like he can He doesn't have to meter burn for some of his combos. It's pretty interesting. But they're all different for every character, you know.
Yeah, Batman's got the bats, little three bats.
Yep, little three bats. Atrocitus summons Dexstar, the Red
Dex
Lantern cat
Star.
from Earth. Yes, very, very cool. So yeah, those are character traits. I always love the idea of character traits because, you know, it provides a unique play style to every single character in the game. And
And it's something that really
they're true
applies
to
to
lore
people.
too.
Oh, absolutely. They're very true to character. You know, Green Arrow changes his arrows that he shoots and stuff. As Batman with the Batmites, Superman gets just kind of like a power boost. As and it with these the character traits, especially for, you know, someone who does not is not you know, great at fighters, so it doesn't really apply to me as much, but the character traits really add a whole new level of depth to strategizing and competitive play. Because some people can use those character traits in ways that are so insane in terms of being able to combo and things like that. So it is very interesting. I mean, there's even in Injustice, a combo that you, Noah, taught me, using Batman.
Really?
Yeah, it's a simple but still, like, you know, intricate, especially for me, combo that does a ton of damage and takes a while. You know, you got to get timing right and everything. But part of that combo is using the three Batmites to do some damage. And it helps you extend the combo because it keeps it
Your
acts as
opponent
like a little,
juggling.
yeah, it acts as a little juggling thing. Yeah, very, yeah, very, you know, just very, very cool. Love the character traits, like you said. Also, to talk about something else I love about Injustice, stage transitions are one of my favorite parts of any fighting game that ever existed.
Yes, you know, stage interactions have made their way into Mortal Kombat, so you know it's just a NetherRealm thing now, but stage transitions are still only in the Injustice series, and they're really cool.
Yeah, they're incredibly fun, just little cutscenes. They also, you know, allow you to get more out of the same stages because you have different, you know, or I guess the same locations because you have multiple stages in the same location, same Metropolis, the Batcave, whatever. Yeah, all very, very cool.
Absolutely. Plus in the competitive scene, people will do combos into stage transitions, and that's always pretty hype.
Oh, nice, I
Yes.
imagine.
Oh, so the Super Meter returns. You know, just like Mortal Kombat X and Injustice 1, it is a four bar system on the bottom of each side of the screen, which allows players to execute enhanced special moves and unlock powerful super moves when fully charged. Okay. So these are all really cool. You know, every character has their own super
Super
move.
move.
Yes. And they're all unique and different and cool. The problem is in competitive play, you would never see them because you spend the meter on other things. Like, for
Oh yeah,
instance,
no.
players can expend the meter to perform new techniques, such as the evasive forward roll, which basically throws you almost full screen, is pretty far, and you're invincible. Provides a way to overcome, you know, enemy zoning attacks, the keep away, the spammy stuff, or an air recovery, which is meant to get you out of a combo escape, but they don't work very well. They're notorious for having you escape right into another combo.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, like I was saying, you know, you're spending their bar on all these other things, or, you know, combo extenders for your special moves. So it never really builds up for the super move in a competitive match, which is
Yeah,
kind of.
the super move is absolutely, I feel like a more casual thing, but man, the super moves in this game are awesome. They really kick it up a notch from the first game. And I mean, yeah, they kick ass. The super moves are great. I love them. Yeah,
Oh,
just
yeah. I
another thing
mean,
that,
for the casual play, it's super great. I mean, we spent, you know, we'll talk about how many hours we spent playing this game.
oh, absolutely. I have almost a timer to tell you that. Anyway, yeah, so that's all the combat stuff. I absolutely love the combat in Injustice. I think it is certainly, I feel like, appeals more to casual gamers than Mortal Kombat does. And I think, you know, the stage transitions, the clash, the character traits, the super moves. It's a very theatrical fighting experience.
It is, and it perfectly encompasses the DC
Absolutely.
world.
Yeah, world. Anyway, so now we're going to talk about
Universe.
new. Oh, yep. Now we're going to talk about new characters. I'll just go through the list here, and then if there's any we want to talk about specifically, we can. So there's Atrocitus, Black Canary, Blue Beetle, Brainiac, Captain Cold, Cheetah, Deadshot, Dr. Fate, Firestorm, Robin, Scarecrow, Supergirl, and Swamp Thing.
Wow, all
A
of
lot
these
of new characters.
characters are fantastic in
Most of
terms
them are
of gameplay.
fantastic. Oh, in terms of gameplay, sorry, I just thought
In
you meant in
terms of
terms of.
gameplay, no, in
Yeah,
terms of like
okay.
a fighting game character, all of these characters are really good, and I've seen people play really well with them competitively. Story-wise, there's some winners and there's some losers here. I mean, Scarecrow, come on. Let's be honest here. Deadshot, did we need
I
another
mean,
one
he
of that?
basically just replaced Deathstroke.
Basically, Dust replaced
I mean, that's
Deathstroke.
basically what he
Did
did.
not need another one of those. Other than that, I think the rest are really
I
cool
think Robin
as
is dumb. I feel
canonical
like they should have
characters.
just
Oh, I
kept him
miss
as
Robin,
Nightwing.
yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's basically, in terms of story, he's only Robin in the first chapter, and then he's Nightwing for the rest of the game, which you can
It
still
is
play as
very,
him
very
as
random.
Nightwing. We'll talk about that kind of later. But I do think it's a very cool list. Added a lot of characters, a lot of characters I did not expect and love. Like Blue Beetle and Firestorm are two that I've always really liked them, and I feel like they never. I guess if you count like the Young Justice show, Blue Beetle, I think really got time to shine in that, and the live action Blue Beetle movie is coming out
That's
in the
true.
next year.
Blue Beetle is on the rise.
He's on the rise, but Blue Beetle, I always felt like was an underappreciated hero, and same with Firestorm. I think they're both really cool, but you just don't see them as much.
Firestorm had a huge presence in the CW show.
Oh yeah, I didn't keep up with those, so I don't
I
remember
actually
that.
did. I loved Firestorm in that. And Blue Beetle, I don't think, he might have appeared, but he wasn't a main character.
Yep. Yeah, then obviously you've got your Dr. Fate, your Atrocitus, Black Canary, all great, great characters. Speaking of Atrocitus, though, this is actually something I wanted to mention. And we'll also, I guess, talk about returning characters here because it does apply to both. And I want to talk about the Joker because the Joker is my favorite DC, well, my favorite comic book character of all time. Very cliche of me, I know. Here's the thing with Injustice 2. The Joker appears in the story once in a Scarecrow fear hallucination that
Hallucination.
Harley Quinn experiences, where she's actually wearing her like old classic Harley costume. That's pretty cool. And then the Joker's there and she has to fight him. And that's the only time he appears in the story because, and I can't stress this enough, he's dead. Like in this world, he is dead, dead, dead.
He was the first casualty.
Yeah. So I don't like that because, and like, even though I love the Joker, and the same thing, it applies to Atrocitus as well, because in the story, when you're playing as Green Lantern, he, like, for some reason in his chapter, is sort of struggling with rage. And then,
Doesn't
boom,
make sense.
Atrocitus teleports in out of nowhere. Hey, you're joining the Red Lantern Corps. And Green Lantern's like, no, I'm not. And then they fight, and then he leaves. And that's it. This is my note to NetherRealm, to Ed, when you listen to this episode. You don't have to put characters in the story to justify them being on the roster. I think they could just be on the roster if you want them to be.
Dude, you hypocrite. Ed is pointing this out right now. He's tweeting at you. He said, in the same breath, you just said that. You just said a second ago that you didn't want the Joker because he's dead. Or would you be
No,
fine with putting him on the
no.
roster as long as he does not appear in the story whatsoever?
I'm saying it's okay for a character to be on the roster if they're not in the story. But if you're gonna put them in the story, make them more than just a single out of nowhere fight and then disappear because it just seems like it's just very obvious. Oh, this little plot point was just included to justify them being in the roster. When
Right.
I'm like, I feel like you don't have to do that. Like, not every character on the roster has to appear in the story. Especially as shoehorned and one-off as I feel the Joker and Atrocitus were. I think it's very obvious the Joker's going to be in this game because he's the Joker. But I personally, being a huge Joker fan, would not have complained if he wasn't in the game. But if he is and not in the story, I would have been like, oh, it's the Joker. He's popular. I get it.
Yeah, I mean, that's my sentiment exactly. Well said.
It's the same way I feel about Atrocitus. Atrocitus is probably like my second or third favorite comic book character of all time. Love Atrocitus. But again, like him, his one-off story beat kind of ruins his presence in the game for me because that happens in
Yes,
the
it
story and I'm like,
completely ruined his
why?
presence in the game for me.
Yeah.
Well, no, I still like that he's there. I just wish
Oh,
that they
yeah.
did more or
Yeah, they
less.
could have just not had him in the story and I still would have loved him being in the game. All right, we'll move on.
Yes, I would have preferred Larfleeze.
Move on.
Where's Sinestro? All right, Jaden. So moving right along, we have the additional gameplay mechanics.
Noah, why don't you tell us about the gear system? I know you're a big fan.
Yes, the Injustice 2 introduced in NetherRealm for the first time the gear system. The gear system uses RPG-like mechanics to reward players with experience and loot after every match. Every playable fighter is given four base stats: strength, defense, health, and ability, the latter of which impacts special attacks. As players collect experience points and subsequently level up, their character's base stats will increase. The max level is 20. Players can enhance their base stats even further by equipping gear obtained through loot drops, which also lets players customize the look of their character. Okay. Rarer gear can include one or more bonus augmentations, which range from new visual effects for special moves to higher yields of in-game currency or experience points. Players can receive additional bonuses by equipping their characters with all five pieces of a single gear set. Players can also save gear loadouts, up to five. Gear comes in three varieties: equipment, shaders, and abilities. Equipment changes the actual look of the basically outfit. Shaders changes the colors, and the abilities are the moves.
Yeah, I think interesting but also annoying the ability to unlock super moves. Every character has, some characters actually unlock them at level increments like 10 and 20. But most are they're like any other piece of gear. You just kind of get them in random events or by completing events, like match. Sorry, random events. I meant random match rewards because at the end of every match you get gear and experience rewards. But that is cool. I do like the idea of additional abilities. I feel like it kind of it is a play on the variation on the like the variations for Mortal Kombat, where you have those different abilities depending on your variation, Noah, right? Right? That's a thing.
That was a thing in Mortal Kombat. Excuse me, X and 11.
Okay, so let's talk about the gear system, Noah. What is your opinion on the gear system?
The gear system, I kind of feel both ways. I love it and I hate it. And that is simply because it provides so much difference in the character's appearance. That's what I like. I don't like the leveling stats and, the gear changes. The rarities, all of that crap. For me, it is purely about the different looks of the characters and how everybody has a cool, different looking version of Batman, Superman, all the Green Lanterns. They have all the lantern colors. I mean, the sheer attention to detail, with the gear system in terms of looks and their colors, the shaders. I thought it was a really, really cool way to get like. I thought it was better than what we used to do, which is alternate skins of different versions of each character. Simply because with the gear system, you can have much, much more alternate versions, it seems, or just slight variations. What do you think?
Oh yes, I sort of agree with you and sort of don't. I agree with you on the fact that I only care about the gear system for its cosmetic aspect. It's annoying. I care about the stats because I have to. Like the gear has different levels, like your character has different levels, very RPG thing where you have the, oh, this gear piece is level 10 and this gear piece is level 15, so you want to use the level 15 gear piece because it provides more boosts. And as you said, with there's different rarities of gear, common, rare, epic, whatever. That's a standard thing in kind of gear systems in games. And I hate it. It boosts your stats, provides bonus, additional bonuses as well. Very RPG. I don't like that system in RPGs. I do it because I have to, for the stat increases and the extra abilities and bonuses. But I don't like that. Like there are times where, I'll be spending like up to an hour just picking my gear and leveling up my gear. And oh, this gear is higher level, but this gear is rarer, so it's,
That's
still
true.
got
At
better
some
stat
point, you
bonuses.
give up on the gear.
Yeah, it sucks. I don't want to do that in RPGs, for
Especially
sure
having to
it's
do that
hell.
for, like t over 20 characters.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't want to do that in RPGs, so I sure as hell don't want to do that in a fighting game. So I absolutely hate
Yeah.
that aspect of it, and it's like you're forced to do it because just because of the fact that it exists.
Yeah, but they
I
learned their
agree with
lesson.
you. Let's hope when Injustice 3 comes up. Now,
Yeah,
I
but I mean,
agree
like,
with
Mortal
you.
Kombat didn't, 11 didn't have this.
Yes, I agree with you that the what's it called, Noah? The cosmetic aspect of it is really cool. The different colors with the shaders and the different looks of the characters, I think are really cool. But me personally, I honestly just prefer an alternate costume system like in Injustice Gods Among Us. I mean, Injustice Gods Among Us had dozens of alternate skins for all the characters, and they were cool, and they actually like referenced
No, they
different
mostly had
storylines and
alternate
different
skins
comics and
for
stuff.
Superman and Batman.
Not every character had alternate skins. Yeah, they had the alternate skins for the two Earths and everything. All I think was really cool, and especially because with alternate skins like that, you can have like you can make references to comics, like, oh, the Nightfall Batman skin, oh, the Darkest Night Superman skin, all that stuff. It's all really cool. And yeah, I love those references, and I think the skins are really cool. I agree with you that there is certainly a lot more variety and a lot more, like, because you're not necessarily being forced to reference other properties, other, comics with the alternate skins. There are a lot of, like, oh, just this
Yeah, it's kind
different
of
looking
like
cowl,
taken from
for
other,
Batman.
it's kind of like taken from other things, but then they still throw their own design flair into
Yeah,
it.
I agree. There's a lot more variation with the designs, which is cool, but getting a full set of the same, a full like yeah, set of a full set of the same gear is very difficult because it's RNG. Everyone knows how we feel at RNG. We hate it.
Yes, we do hate orangey.
And so getting like a full matching set is slightly difficult.
Speaking of
And
RNG.
yeah, I just don't like it. I would prefer alternate skins because you could still have shaders in an alternate skins world, and you could still have, say, a bunch of different looks like this, like how Gotham Knights does it, where there's the different
That's
what's
a
it
great
called?
point. Exactly.
Yeah, like you could still have those cool
Yeah, it's a
alternate
great
looking
way of
stuff.
combining both.
Yeah, I think Gotham Knights probably did it a very good way compared to Injustice 2. So yeah, there are good ways to do the gear system, or better ways at least. I do not like it in Injustice 2. I would have preferred just more
See
alternate
Mortal
skins.
Kombat 11.
See Mortal Kombat E11. Noah, mother boxes. They're
Mother
loot boxes.
boxes are loot boxes.
Yeah, it's just, it's in universe way of saying loot boxes.
Could you pay
There's
actual currency for them?
We'll talk about that. There's bronze, silver, gold, and diamond. Different levels obviously get you better gear, or at least a higher chance of better gear, These were bought with in-game currency. They were not bought with real money, which I can sort of respect, because building up the in-game currency to get these mother boxes and to get better mother boxes still takes a long ass time. It's not like
Yeah, they're
it
all
takes less
NetherRealm are
time.
always grindy
Yeah,
games.
it's not like it takes less time because of the fact that you can't spend real money on it. They still made it take a long time. They just didn't give you the option to spend real money on it, which, I mean, I at least appreciate that because it comes across as less cash grabby.
Wait, so there was the option or there wasn't?
Well, there were multiple different in-game currencies. Only one of the in-game currencies could be purchased with real money. But that currency was not used to buy mother boxes. So mother boxes you cannot buy with
That's
real
right.
money.
Okay.
Yes. Anyway, Noah, let's talk about, I think, the best part of the gear system. And again, something you could do in just an alternate skins system, the
Yeah.
premier skins.
This is something I was hopeful for when they announced, and then I realized that they only had three or four. Like, it's not like they had multiple premier skins. I thought they were going to have multiple premier skins for every character, and you could unlock them. It'd be like, oh, Gorilla Grodd is also Savitar. But well, I can't remember what that guy's name is. Is that
I think
it?
Savitar is correct. It's,
Oh,
if not,
cool.
that's a very good guess because I believed it. Like you said that, and
But
I
you
was
know
like,
who
"Oh
I'm talking
yeah,
about, the white
Savitar." Yeah,
gorilla who's
absolutely.
like
I know who you're
psychic.
talking about. Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. I thought there was going to be a lot of premier skins, and instead, there were very few. Premier skins are alternate skins available for some characters that act as another character entirely, and it's purely cosmetic, does not change the character's moveset at all. The voice acting does change for them, though, which is cool. Notable examples include Mr. Freeze for Captain Cold. You know, you switch them out, they're different characters. Jay Garrick and the Reverse Flash for Flash. He gets two. And then John Stewart for Green Lantern. Mr. Freeze and Captain Cold, kind of a random one there.
Well, they both have freeze guns.
Well, good job, Jaden. I'm glad you put that one together.
Yeah.
But you know, the other two characters here, Green Lantern and the Flash, are excellent examples of both characters who could have had like five
Oh,
premier
absolutely.
skins. You know,
Yeah,
all the Green Lanterns.
you could have had Guy Gardner, Kyle Rayner,
Yeah, and then
Baz,
what
Kid
about the women
Flash.
ones?
I don't know. I
Oh,
feel like
what's
that'd
her
be
name?
harder.
That's true. Well, no, you just changed the character model. Jay Garrick and Reverse Flash, you know, like you said, Kid Flash,
But
his grandson
they
from
did
the
have other
future,
cool
whatever.
ones. Impulse. They did have other cool ones. You know, they
Thank you.
had, although he died in the comics.
They did have a lot of really cool premiere skins. And it
Yeah.
doesn't matter if they exist in the story.
Well, you know, they had Power Girl. You're correct. Yeah, there was Power Girl for Supergirl. There was talk about later. Black Lightning was a premier skin for somebody. We'll talk about that one in the future.
Yep, Vixen.
Vixen for Cheetah, right? I forgot about that one.
Yep. That one I thought
Yeah.
was cool.
That is a
That's
cool
what
one.
I
That is a
wanted.
very
I
cool one.
wanted like ones that kind of make sense. I'm like, wow, this kind of makes sense. And it kind of sucks because Vixen can do a lot of things that Cheetah can't, but
Yeah, with
it's
her,
still cool to see Vixen
honestly,
in a
kind of a
game.
waste. Yeah, it is very
Like,
cool.
I mean, I just thought I've never thought I'd see Vixen in a game. I thought that was just awesome.
No, I get you. Yeah, Vixen, I feel like very. I would even say the same about Captain Cold, but he's actually a character in this game. But two very underrated comic book characters, in my opinion. I
Captain
think they're
Cold,
both very, very cool.
also Legends of Tomorrow, huge
That is true. He got
character.
very, very popular with the
Yeah.
Arrowverse series. But I mean, yeah, like really, Flash's whole Rogues Gallery, I think they just call themselves the Rogues. They're a very cool group.
They do, and
I
they
wish
are
they would exist
underrated.
more. Yeah, they're very underrated.
If you've ever read about them in the comics, they actually have like some kind of code,
Yeah, like
and
they don't kill innocents and
yeah,
stuff like that.
it's like women and children. They're really cool, actually.
They are very cool. But yeah, I agree with you. The Premier skins, I think, is a very, very awesome concept. I love the ones they have. I love how it gives you the ability to have these kind of extra, not entirely copycat, but slightly copycat characters without,
Multiple slots.
without taking up a actual character slot to have, say, John Stewart and Hal Jordan. When it's like, well, they're basically the same. Why would you do this? You know, you could have given that slot to another character. Well, they fixed that by having the premiere skins. A very, very cool concept. Wish they would have as you said, wish they would have used more, because there was always opportunities for more. Anyway,
Oh, talk about the multiverse.
multiverse. Noah, huge fan of the multiverse. So it's actually just due to me not playing Mortal Kombat X. I didn't realize that.
Oh yeah, you thought this was
I
created
thought the multiverse
injustice.
was created. Well, because it made sense because it's the multiverse exists and but it was similar to the Living Towers mode from NetherRealm's previous title, Mortal Kombat X. The multiverse allows players to travel through a series of parallel worlds within the DC universe and battle against opponents with various handicaps, stipulations, and goals. It's basically a challenge. It's almost like the towers you just fight. Typically, you fight a series of opponents. You might have a handicap, you might have a bonus, you might have certain stipulations you have to meet in the matches. And once you complete it, you get rewards, you get currency, you get sometimes, you'll get a mother box, or you could get maybe like a specific gear, like, oh, you'll get a guaranteed, epic level gear piece or whatever it is.
I hate these.
I really liked the concept in the of the multiverse in this game, actually, when we first got it. I thought it was very, very interesting. I thought it was a very interesting way to keep kind of interest in the game, especially for single player people, past beating the story. Yeah, I thought it was very interesting. It certainly, it, especially if you're going for trophies, like there's a trophy to get every character to level 20. Having something like this where you're doing these different challenges and stuff, certainly I think makes that a lot more tolerable than, say, if you were to just have to do the classic tower over and over and over again.
That's
Also, an
fair.
interesting, yes. Yeah, and, also, an interesting aspect of Mortal Kombat, of sorry, of Injustice 2, is you can actually have AI fighters. You can have basically just an AI fight through these challenges for you. And the AI fights a lot better than I do.
That is very
Because
funny.
I use the AI a lot, and that is something we will talk about later. But yeah, you can use the AI for your for different characters and stuff. Very, very fun. Interesting. It's basically like a way to just watch Mortal Kombat be played in the comfort of your living
It's
room.
Injustice. But yes, you're right.
Yeah, I suck.
No, you're right. That is a cool thing that they added, and it makes that the grind of the multiverse a little bit better, but still you have to like watch it. You can't, it's not fun. You know what I mean? It's still a grind. It's
Yes.
ugh. My
Yeah, you
problem with the
still, I mean, you still
multiverse,
have
the
to,
Living Towers, is to me, they're trying to capture the Challenge Tower from Mortal Kombat 9, and it just never seems to get the exact. I don't know why they can't get it.
I feel like just make a challenge
It's
tower.
not fun. What it is it always comes off either not difficult enough or too difficult. The rewards aren't good enough, you know, something like that.
Yeah, I agree. Like by the time I completed, because I did get the platinum in Injustice 2. We'll talk about that later. By the time I completed the game, I the novelty had worn out far and away. Yeah. So that's yeah, that's whatever. Anyway, let's move on to microtransactions. So players can use real money to buy source crystals. There are multiple currencies. This is the only one you can buy. Source crystals are used to purchase cosmetic items in the game, such as the premiere skins, shaders, and transform gear, which the way transform gear works is it basically allows you to make one piece of gear look like another, so you can have gear with better stats, but it still looks like the cooler piece of gear you want. I think it's stupid that you have to buy that. I
Crazy.
feel like that should be a free thing in any game that has gear. Oh, they can also be used to level up characters after one character has reached level 20. So, I guess a slightly cool thing they did, because there is, let's say, a trophy to get every character level 20. One thing you can do is you have to get one character to level 20, just not normally. You have to do that. Once you've done that, you can then use source crystals to power up any character to level 20 instantly, which is cool. The problem with really all of this is I want premier skins. Premier skins cost a lot of source crystals, and the much like every other currency in this game, takes a long time to get source crystals to actually buy stuff you want. So, especially egregious considering the premier skins are arguably one of the coolest aspects of this game. And I think like if you play through the story 100% the story, because you still get the currency playing through the story fights and stuff, and I think you get source crystals like with every chapter you beat or something like that. Playing through the story gets you enough source crystals for I think two premium skins, and there's more than two premium skins in this game. So, it yeah again, even though microtransactions are not nearly as egregious as they could be in this game, it's still bad in this in the Premier skins and automatically leveling up characters is why.
Yeah, NetherRealm, they are not the worst in terms of the microtransactions. They keep it on some of the side stuff. I could see people falling down rabbit holes for those microtransactions still. But where they get us is, they release their game. How I read their games is they come out with like 20 characters and they have 10 or 15 that they're like, okay, these we charge more for in their combat packs. You know what I mean? And it just seems like more and more characters are going from the main game to the DLC.
Okay.
Well, you know, I'm
I feel
well, for like instance, like Mortal Kombat 11, I kept up with it when the game came out. So like I bought the edition just like right now, Mortal Kombat 1. We're buying the premier edition that's coming with Combat Pack 1.
Yes.
There will be other combat packs that are going to be like $20 a combat pack. It'll be like five characters, $20, or something like that, or six characters, $25, whatever. And so then that'll be added on to our original price of the game, which is already like a hundred something. So what happens after that is everything gets bundled. It becomes like Mortal Kombat 11 Ultimate. Buy for $40, you can have the main game and everything. You know what I mean? So it's like
Yeah, really
the
kind of
people
punishes
who pay the
people.
most are the people who are the, you know, the fans, which is
Yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, that's a thing that has been a problem that has been plaguing video games for a long, long time.
Yeah. But to me, it's like if it was cosmetics, you know, I would not pay any extra, I would not pay an extra cent. But the
Yeah.
fact that it's gameplay, you know, I will pay for it. This is the one game that I fall down the rabbit hole for, and I'll pay, you know, a ridiculous amount of money. Still not as much as those people play for like 2K or something.
Yeah, I just
But
sit
that's
back and
my
reap
beef with
the
Mortal Kombat
I just sit back and reap the rewards
or
of Noah
NetherRealm.
buying stuff for Mortal Kombat.
Well, now we split it.
Anyway, Noah, why don't you talk about online in Mortal Kombat?
So online,
God
it's still
damn it.
Injustice 2. The online in Injustice 2 is pretty standard NetherRealm online modes. You have your King of the Hill, your ranked, your casual where the gear comes in, and that's pretty much it. You know, private matches, rooms, whatever. All 1v1, obviously. The only difference is in ranked, the gear levels and stuff like that don't matter. In casual, they do. So if you're like a le if you're playing a level 20, a level 1 character against a level 20 character with legendary gear, like you will not win in
Well, you can
casual.
also you can in the options turn
Turn it
off
off.
that. You can't, yes. That is something that good for them, they included.
And mostly people do that, but
Yeah, we actually played this online a lot because you have to play 200 casual matches and win 50 casual matches for trophies. And because again, I don't like online and I'm not good, you and I just played each other a lot.
that's true. We worked on other trophies while doing that.
Yeah, we did, but yeah, we went through a lot and we're like, okay, you be this character and get this trophy, whatever, and then yeah, one of us would just stand there while the other one beat the shit out of them. Fun times, fun times. Noah, talk about guilds.
Oh God, guilds, Jaden. It's pretty much the faction system introduced in Mortal Kombat X. Did I ever tell you about the faction system? I think we might have talked about it.
I mean, we did an episode on it, so we
Yeah,
skimmed over it.
players. Can, in this game, players can also form online guilds, all right, with up to 50 other players. So this is like clubs. Okay.
Yes.
This, you know, I don't really get involved in things like this. I don't like the social aspect of these type of games like that. The problem with this is later on there was a lot of like bad, weird clubs that were not regulated by like NetherRealms, whoever was regulating it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Anyway, guild members can collaborate to complete daily and weekly cooperative objectives to earn and share gear exclusive to guild gameplay and climb the worldwide leaderboards. Noah completely skimmed over that part of this paragraph.
My bad. Yeah, no, you
I
just
mean, I think I made a guild slash joined a guild because you have to for a trophy, but
Yep.
it's just something that like it's like you said, I don't care about it. I
Yeah,
think
it's just
it's
so inconsequential.
Yeah, it's just dumb. I feel like it's one of those things that you could have not done this and the game would have been completely unaffected by it. Anyway, the
Mean,
battle simulator.
I prefer factions to guild.
Okay, I get you. The battle simulator arcade slash tower mode returns, which you must defeat a series of opponents to unlock a special ending for each character. Each character gets their own.
Yay.
In a first for NetherRealm. All of the endings are narrated by their character, like their voice actor,
Instead of the narrator.
instead of just the narrator. This is cool. You pointed it out initially, Noah. How? Yeah, I guess they just had the extra time or budget or something that they, with all the voice actors, they're like, hey, just record this paragraph of what the character does. So it is cool to see them actually narrated by the characters themselves, talking about their victories and what they did after, saving the universe or whatever.
It is really cool. The endings from the classic arcade towers are, to this day, one of the coolest aspects from the very first NetherRealm, you know, Midway Mortal Kombat game
Absolutely.
that has lasted all these years. And all the endings are really cool of every game. You know,
Yeah,
I
they're all really
always
fun.
suggest on YouTube they have the compilations of every ending for every character. Go check those out at some point. They're very
Yeah.
short.
Absolutely. You can I mean for as Noah said, every single Mortal Kombat game all the way back to the first Mortal Kombat arcade machine in I want to say 1992. So I will. They all have endings and I mean you could I mean there's a lot now because they've made so many games, but absolutely I think worth the watch is seeing the different endings. They're all very fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, that
Starting with
moves
the
us
newer
on
games.
to it's up to you. That moves us on to notable trophies. So Noah, you'll have to tell me because again, I did not play it really by myself. If Mortal Kombat X introduced this system, but if it didn't, Injustice 2 did, where it is the using X win against potentially against Z using Y move formula. What that formula is a vast majority of the trophies in NetherRealm games this day. I know Mortal Kombat 11 did it, Injustice 2 did it. Maybe Mortal Kombat X started it.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Over half of your trophies are using Batman, win against any opponent using this move for the final hit. Or using, say, not Robin, defeat Batman using this move as the final hit. Sometimes it's just a normal special move. Sometimes it's a super move. Sometimes they require you use a meter burn move. And that, I mean, that is legitimately like, I think 40 trophies in this game are of like this trophy list of maybe I think there's like in the main game around like 60
That sounds
trophies. Like
easy.
40 of them are and they're very easy because you can do it like with
But I
two
think that's cool.
controllers, just having a character not doing anything. You know, it's not like there's any you have to do it online, although there is one that you actually have to do online in this game using Harley. But for the most part, it's just yeah, it's just
Boo.
when using this move. Sometimes against a specific opponent. It's interesting. It's a great, I mean, because of that, like Mortal Kombat 11 and Injustice 2, and again, I don't know if Mortal Kombat X introduced it, a very good way to boost your trophy numbers if you're looking to get a bunch of bronze trophies in a short amount of time is load up those games, get a second controller, look up the moves that you have to do, and do them, and you can get trophies very quickly. Yeah, and it's, I don't know if Mortal Kombat 1 will continue that trend, but yeah, it's become a thing for them. Winning is fun. This is another trophy. Win 10 ranked matches. Noah, online trophies, I hate them. In fighting games especially, they're bad. Win 10 ranked matches, which, funny enough, this trophy is actually harder now than it was when the game came out. When Injustice 2 was released, if you would fight a person in ranked, you would win. You would knock out their first health bar, knock out their second health bar. That's one win. Later, they changed the ranked online mode, where now it acts like it does automatically in competitive, where it's best two of three or best three of five, where you have to knock out their two health bars. That's one. Okay, knock out their two health bars again. That's two. Knock out their two health bars again. That's three. And that winning those three counts as one ranked match.
Yep.
So the trophy is harder now than it was. Best three of five, very annoying. I do have this trophy, and let me tell you guys, if you're like me and you're not good at fighting games, I'm going to tell you my patented Jaden of the Super Gamer Bros patented method of earning the win 10 ranked matches in a NetherRealm game trophy. What you do is you go to your brother who is very good and plays a lot of NetherRealm fighting games. You go to your brother and you say, "Hey, bro, can you get this trophy for me in Injustice 2?" And he's like, "Yeah, sure." And then 2 hours later, you get a text saying your trophy is done. Boom. Got it. Move on to the next one.
2 hours?
Yeah, it took you 2 hours to do it.
That's so fast.
Yeah, I remember you said you used Blue Beetle a lot and did a lot of zoning.
God, I was a spammy asshole.
Yeah, you even said you were telling me at the time, because I guess it's a funny story that this is true. This is what happened. This is what I did. Noah got this trophy for me on my journey to getting the platinum. So I guess you can technically say Noah has also helped get the platinum. Where in that game, you said while you were playing it, one guy actually messaged you on PlayStation, complaining about you being a zoning asshole. And you literally responded to him and just said, like, "Yeah, haha, man, I'm just trying to get the trophy for winning 10 matches. So, I know I'm being cheap, but I'm just trying to get that trophy." And the guy was not happy about it.
Yeah, a lot of NetherRealm online matches are like that. Especially if you're spamming. People hate that. But I used to be a hater of spammers, but now that I've watched a lot of competitive Mortal Kombat, if somebody's spamming you, that means you're doing something wrong over and over again. That doesn't mean they're doing it right.
And I mean, it's a strategy, you know? It's like,
It's a strategy. If it's in
it's
the
one of those
game
things
and you're
like,
losing, that's on you, not them.
it's something like, it's like what people say, you know, people in FPS games that get mad about camping. Like, it's, I think camping is probably
It
more annoying
works.
than spamming, but if it works, why would you not do it? Like, you're trying to win here. You're not trying to, say, be a good sportsman.
Right.
Like, if someone's going to let you use the same move 10 times in a row without finding some way to counter it, then that's on them, like you said.
Right. I mean, especially like if you're in a tournament setting, I mean, what are you going to complain that the other person was spamming? Like, it's about winning.
Noah,
And
it's
there's
time.
answers to that. Like, if you try to spam the best characters in the game, you are going to get the best fighters in the competitive scene. I mean, you are going to get destroyed. Not even the best, you know, like the mid-level
They're
fighters.
not even going to be nice about it. They're just going to destroy
No,
you.
it'll be a steamroll. Anyway,
Anyway,
catfight.
cat fight, Noah, it's time. I want to tell you, ever since we started this podcast, I've wanted to talk about this trophy. Anyone who has played Injustice 2 listening to this, especially if you've gone for completion, you know what I'm talking about. Cat fight. Catwoman must defeat Cheetah with the final hit coming from Cat Call. Cat Call is a special move for Catwoman, where it's actually a very cool move. She actually calls a cat, and a cat attacks the enemy. And you're thinking, Jaden, why is this trophy special? Well, Cat Call is not a move that Catwoman normally has unlocked. It is one of her unlocked moves. As we talked about earlier with the gear system, this is RNG, Noah. This is RNG.
Yes, this is randomly generated. Every time
So.
you open a loot box, it's random.
Yes, and you can get moves as random what's it called? The like random match rewards, but moves are considered like the highest level rarity for gear. So very, very rare that you get them. Noah, the amount of time I put into this game to get this trophy, let me tell you. So getting them there are certain multiverse challenges that guarantee you a move, but it's for any character. I did a lot of those, got a bunch of moves for different characters, didn't get any Catwoman moves. Or maybe did, but not the one I needed, because I think Catwoman herself has four unlockable moves as part of the gear. Guess which one I unlocked last? It was this one.
Of course.
There's one way, sort of, that you can kind of guarantee you'll get this move. And that is, we'll talk about it a bit later, but there's something in this game called the Legendary Multiverse. The Legendary Multiverse, there is a different world for every single character, and there are just very high-level difficult challenges for those characters. There is also what some might consider excessive requirements to unlock the legendary challenges in those worlds. There were initially three for Catwoman, and they kind of went in a series, so you had to beat the first one to unlock the second one, beat the second to unlock the third. The third one guaranteed you a Catwoman move. So let me tell you, Noah, I actually redownloaded Injustice 2 just to pull up the list of requirements for the Catwoman thing here. So let me take you through some of these requirements for unlocking the Legendary Multiverse challenges for Catwoman. One, you have to get the character to level 20. That's fine, you know, whatever. If you're going for trophies, you're going to do that anyway. Spend 1 million credits. Use 150 damaging environmental interactions with Catwoman. Defeat 200 villains as Catwoman. Complete 50 boss events as Catwoman. Complete Survivor as Catwoman.
I didn't even know Survivor could be completed.
There's endless Survivor, and then there's Survivor where I think you have to beat like the whole cast with I think it's with one health bar. Yeah, but that one is made easier by you can change the difficulty and set it to very easy. You know, so
Yeah,
that is made
true,
easier by
true.
that. So that's like all for the first event, just the first event. For the second event, sacrifice 100 regen tokens. Use 150 arena transitions with Catwoman. Deal 300 million damage with Catwoman. Complete 100
Wow.
multiverse events with Catwoman. That's the second one.
Wow.
The third one, sacrifice 250 pieces of rare or better gear for Catwoman.
I think we get it. They're extraneous.
Hold on, I got a couple more. Win 1,000 matches as Catwoman. Win
Jesus.
100 matches with Pounce as the final hit. This one, Play 3,000 minutes with Catwoman. 3,000.
How many hours is that?
50 hours.
Wow.
50 hours.
50
Let me tell
hours
you.
of this game with nothing but Catwoman.
Yeah, and that's all to, and you have to do all of that to unlock the multiverse challenge where you get a move with Catwoman. Let me tell you, because I had nothing better to do with my life, I decided, well, I guess that's how I'm going to have to do it because I'm not having any luck. Well, I'm going to keep trying these other challenges and stuff in hopes that I get it before, but I guess my end goal is to get to 3,000 minutes. The minutes only count when you're in a match and the timer in the match is running down. So you can't just get in a match and
No.
pause. No, the timer has to be moving. This is where I said I used the AI. Like, once I had done everything else, I used the AI. And you're thinking, man, Jaden, all those requirements sound crazy. I did every single other requirement, the 1,000 matches, all everything else. And when I completed all those, I was at about 1,500 minutes.
Wow.
That is by far, none of those other things matter because it's going to take you way less than 3,000 minutes to do all that. Also, and just the luck for being Catwoman, every character has slightly different requirements for the Legendary Multiverse. Only two characters in the game, I think, require you to play 3,000 minutes as said character. And Catwoman is one of them, of course. So that's what I was doing. I had the AI going nonstop.
Horrendous system. What were you
Horrendous,
thinking,
horrendous.
NetherRealm?
I had the AI going. Also, when you're doing AI, you still have to be there because you have to press the X button to move on to the next fight.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. It's not
Yeah.
exactly too, it's not like you can play something else. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like,
Yeah.
that's time on
So,
your system.
I'll be honest. No, I watched a lot of Critical Role while sitting in my room, pressing the X button every 50 or so seconds to
3,000
move on to the next
minutes.
fight. Well, I will say, to tell you just again how egregious 3,000 minutes is, I got the cat call ability as a random match reward, like 2,200 minutes in.
Yikes.
So even like the rarest possible way to get these abilities is as a match reward, and I did it. I got it as a random stupid match reward, not even for completing a challenge that guarantees an ability, just a random match reward. And I still had almost 800 minutes left when I got it. Absolutely ridiculous, stupid trophy. And the worst part, no, the worst part is you look this trophy up online when as I did when I was trying to do it, and you have some people that are like, yeah, I got that move within like my first 2 hours of playing. And those people can go die. I hate them. I hate this trophy. I hate RNG. Noah,
Yeah,
let's move on to our
well said,
questions.
well said.
Let's move on to our questions. Oh boy. Noah, favorite moments?
My favorite moments of any NetherRealm game, especially Injustice 2, is learning all of the characters, you know, just fiddling with them and figuring them out. And then this game had the extra layer of the gear system. You know, I like the, like I said, I love the cosmetic idea. I think it's done much better in Mortal Kombat 11. They take out the gameplay aspect of it, and it's great. I mean, it just, everybody's character looks a little bit different, and it provides that edge of like a little bit of longevity to the game, I think.
That yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. And I will say this, I kind of did like the leveling up system. It was just too much. Maybe if every character had like 10 levels or 5, but to like have to level up every single character in the game and then there ends up being like almost 40 characters, it's just too much. You know,
Yeah, I
even
get you.
for me, and I'm like one of the biggest fans of this company there is.
Yeah, I get you.
So, what's your favorite moment?
Oh, my favorite moment is, yeah, we're talking the story here. The Justice League working together again. There's even, kind of a big moment about it
That
in the story where,
scene.
yeah, that scene, you know that scene, Noah. Yeah, it's just really cool to see the tentative alliance and, them working together and Batman coming to the realization that he has to free Superman to beat Brainiac. And, like, when he does it, it's like everyone is super shocked. It's fun. Noah, favorite new character?
My favorite new character in the game was Black Canary. She was just really fun. They made her, you know, kind of a mix between a cr close-up grappler combo character, rushdown type, and she's got a just a slight bit of zoning, a couple moves that give her mobility and some, what is it? You know, she throws her voice with the scream.
Yeah.
And after playing Mortal Kombat 11, she's very similar to Sindel.
Sindel, yeah.
Sindel is a rush down, and she has great mobility. But Black Canary has a lot of grapples, and I love that. I like when a grapples aren't too easy, aren't too hard
Yeah,
to do.
grappling
Like,
characters are very interesting in fighting games.
yeah, 100%.
I've always had a lot of respect, especially for people who are good at using grappling characters, because they can be very tricky to master. Mine is Atrocitus. As I said earlier, one of my favorite comic book characters. I absolutely love Atrocitus. Being
I
able to play
love
as
the
him was
entire
really, really
Lantern
cool.
lore.
Absolutely, Lantern lore is like top three, like comic kind of, I guess, organizations, stories, whatever.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. And Atrocitus is one of my favorites. He's awesome. I love his character. I love his backstory. Him being in this game was very, very cool.
I loved his voice.
His voice is cool. Dexstar is awesome, and he's in this game. Love
Yeah, I
Dexstar.
just wish they did more with him in the story.
Yeah, I mean, that's my only complaint is as I said, although I love having him in this game, the egregious shoehorn story part of him was kind of dumb. Anyway, no, any miscellaneous things you like?
Injustice 2 tournaments are always really cool to watch.
That is cool. Good tournaments, fun. All right, Noah, what we didn't like about the game?
The gear system.
That's fair. That's fair. I feel like we
The
talked about
gameplay
that.
aspect of the gear system.
Yeah, I get you. I guess my big thing is I feel like the story is very predictable. I didn't talk about that with the story when we actually talked about the story, but the whole, you know, them having their tentative alliance, and you think, well, I don't know if you ever think, but just how predictable it is that, oh, now Brainiac's defeated and they're going against each other again. You know, there's no redemption, anything like that. It's this very predictable story. It went, you know, Brainiac invades, so, well, Superman's in
Yeah,
prison,
I
some
was going to
people are trying
say
to break
it's
him
just
out.
all around
Brainiac
not as good as
invades.
the first game. You know,
They
the
agree to
first
work
game
together.
had the
Yeah.
explosive the pull of, you know, we were being introduced to this world. Superman is evil here. He straight up kills people. Like, it was all really new, really cool, really fun. And then in this, it's all like toned down and much more like traditional DC storytelling.
Yeah, I think so.
So that's why, to me, it was like it kind of downgraded in terms of the story, but I just like
Yeah.
that there were more characters to see. Also, like I said, Reverse Flash, Gorilla Grodd, Captain
Yeah,
Cold.
I mean, no, it was a great story. I mean, it was a great story. I liked it. It was just very predictable. Replayability, Noah.
But yeah, they're replayable. You know, fighting games are pretty much infinitely replayable as long as you know,
Yeah, I
enjoy
mean,
playing it
that's,
by
yeah.
yourself or have somebody else to play it with.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said. It's a fighting game. They're, you know,
Yeah.
if you like fighting games, yeah. If you are
I
only
think I
playing it
have
for the story,
Injustice 2
no.
on my system right now. I might
Oh,
have
that's cool.
deleted it, but we've been playing a lot of NetherRealm fighting games recently.
Yeah. We meaning you and your friends, not me.
That's true.
Yeah, just clearing that out for our listeners. I'm not. Anyway, let's move on to the DLC. Again, NetherRealm, ever since I think Mortal Kombat X is when they really started just knocking it out of the park with their DLC fighters. So let's talk about yeah, there are
Mortal
three
Kombat
fighter
9's
packs.
DLC was fantastic also.
Well, there were only four characters though. I'm saying, like, yeah, once
But they
I
were
think
great
MKX is when
characters.
they were, but I think, you know, MKX is when they really started kicking it up with the amount of
True.
characters and how out of the park they can be. So let's talk here. We'll talk first. Darkseid was a pre-order bonus. You can play as Darkseid. Very
Awesome.
fun to play as.
Yeah, I
His
love him.
Omega Beams are very fun. Then let's talk Fighter Pack 1 had Red Hood, Starfire, and Sub-Zero. Fighter Pack 2 had Black Manta, Hellboy, and Raiden, who Raiden, his premier skin was Black Lightning. We mentioned him earlier.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Fighter Pack 3 had Adam Enchantress and TMNT. You could play as the Ninja Turtles. This is part of how the gear system was cool. You would change the turtle by changing their gear to
It
the
was
weapon
really
of
cool.
the turtle you wanted to play as. It was really cool how it worked. That also mentioned earlier is how you could, when you were Robin, play as Nightwing, because you could get the bow staff as a weapon and use it, and then he would have his moveset from the first game. I'll be
Yeah.
honest, played the game for at least 2,200 minutes, never unlocked it. Very hard to unlock, so kind of stupid. I feel like they should have made just had it as a default gear that he had, but they didn't. So I think that that was kind
Yep.
of annoying.
Yep, 100%.
But anyway, yeah, with TMNT, it was all default, so you could play as all of them, and very fun. As I said, I think they knocked it out of the park with the DLC characters in this one. I would say probably the only character here, I guess, there of 10 characters, there are only two that I don't particularly care about, and that is Red Hood
Yes.
because I just
What?
feel like he's another Deadshot. He's a little unnecessary. An Enchantress, and that's just because I'm not a, I don't know a lot about Enchantress, the character.
Wow,
Don't have a lot
I'm
of
very
experience with
shocked
her.
by those opinions there.
What are your opinions?
First of all, I'm going to counter yours. Red Hood, he is not just another Deadshot. His moveset is very unique. And I've seen a lot of people play with him at high level. Deadshot is not played almost ever.
It's fair.
But you should see it. Red Hood is really cool. Starfire is one of the best characters in the game.
I love Star. I mean, I just love Starfire as the character, so I could never have any
100%.
complaints
Yep.
with her being in
I
this
also
game.
like that they went with the comic version.
Yeah, the comic look, yeah.
Your other one was Enchantress. Yeah, I have a problem with it because I thought it was like tied to the Suicide
The Suicide
Squad
Squad movie.
movie, and I
I
did
get
not
that.
want that. I don't want to push it. It was bad content.
Yeah, I kind of agree
Enchantress,
with that. It
there
certainly
in the
seemed out of
game
nowhere for
though,
her.
it was very unrelated to the movie, and her moveset was awesome. She was kind of like a,
Ermac.
even, I was gonna say even crazier Quan Chi, because she's like
Ah,
summoning
gotcha, more
people
Quan
and
Chi.
brainwashing you and messing with your inputs and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
But she was actually really, really well done.
Okay.
My the two characters I thought you were going to say are Sub-Zero and Raiden.
No, I thought
I
they were like.
don't. I had a problem with Scorpion as a DLC character in Injustice 1, and the
No,
fact
I
that
think
they
it's
added
cool.
two Mortal Kombat characters to Injustice 2, I was so upset about.
See,
Because not
I thought they
only
were
are they
fine.
not guests from other genres like TMNT and Hellboy, but they are not other cool DC characters that we haven't seen. They're characters we've seen in NetherRealm games 100 times.
Here's I do have an issue with the fact that they had two Mortal Kombat characters. I think they should have, if anything, just had one. Also, just comment real quick. Hellboy, awesome, love him. Cool that he's in it.
Yeah, really, really cool.
Yeah. I would say I would be fine with Raiden because Raiden is at least different. I had the issue with, well, really honestly, even my issue with both is Scorpion, unique character. There weren't any characters like Scorpion in Injustice: Gods Among Us. In Injustice 2, Sub-Zero is, Captain Cold. Obviously, they play different, but overall, it's the same concept. And Raiden is Black Adam. Like,
Hundred
again,
percent.
it's like they're very similar. That's my problem with the Mortal Kombat guest characters, is they're just too similar to characters that already exist in the game. It's like the whole Premier skin argument earlier of, I mean, obviously Sub-Zero couldn't be a Premier skin, but I feel like Raiden and Black Lightning could have been Premier skins for Black Adam.
Yeah.
And nobody would have batted an eye at that.
Nope.
And even then, probably would have been like, oh, that's cool. Raiden is a Premier skin. What a cool little,
Yeah,
Easter egg
a great
reference,
way to get a
whatever.
Mortal Kombat character in without taking a character slot.
But I mean, overall, yeah, that's kind of my issue with it. I think, yeah, I don't know. I don't think, like, I just feel like Red Hood and Enchantress were
TMNT
both a bit
though,
more shoehorned.
I mean, I
Toomin-T, great.
died when they were
Absolutely
announced. That
awesome.
was so
It
cool.
was the
The
greatest
best
thing ever. That
characters in
trailer
this
kicked
game.
ass.
Yeah, it wasn't leaked. Really cool about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was kind of like they were kind of like Triborg
Yeah.
or Quad
Yeah, and I
Borg.
like how Injustice 2, Noah, you'll have to correct me if Mortal Kombat X did it first, but Injustice 2 introduced the really cool like character announcement trailers they do for their DLC.
I'm pretty sure you might be right.
Yeah, like the
Because in
like the
Mortal
minute and a
Kombat X,
half,
I
like
think they had like smaller teasers for individual characters. Like they
yeah.
had one for like
Like
Jason,
I
one
know
for
Mortal Kombat,
Leatherface.
yeah, I know Mortal Kombat 11 did those because I can specifically remember the one with the Joker. But Injustice 2, as far as I'm aware, did it first and was really cool. Yeah, you see them fighting and it's like, oh my God, it's this guy, and then oh my God, it's this guy, and then
Well,
typically
what's awesome about it, it's
they would
like
always save the third, the
I
most
love what
surprising
they
for
do
last.
is yeah, I love how they do that. I love how it's like, they come out of the shadows and it's not like they've never announced this character, so you just see him and you're like, oh, it's Joker. You're like trying to
Yeah.
guess who it is sometimes.
Yeah.
But no, really,
Anyway.
really cool.
Yeah. Anyway, let's also talk about the Legendary Edition real quick. So that's like, the special edition, all the DLC, whatever. But it was actually kind of released as a separate game, and it's almost treated as a separate game, where it introduced new features such as an expanded tutorial system called the Learn Hub, new gear items, and an increased character level cap to 30. It also introduced the le it also is what introduced the Legendary Multiverse, which I talked about enough earlier.
Oh, okay.
So, I did want to say just real quick, the Learn Hub is very cool. It basically is it's training, and it goes super in depth. You have to do some for trophies, for a trophy. So I did, but it gets super in depth of talking about frames and specific moves, and this is minus frame, plus
Yeah, I
frames,
always do
whatever,
all the
all.
training.
Yeah, it got really in depth with, like, it was the first time I experienced a fighting game where they actually, like, in the game talked about the frames and iframes and all this different stuff. And I, spent like an hour and a half maybe working on this training, because it is difficult, because it is very tight timing and everything, like high level fighting games you would expect.
Yep.
And I did struggle with the training, and was like a point where I was like playing this, and I had that realization of, ah, man, I just don't know if I'm even capable mentally of being this good at fighting games. But yeah, I thought it was a very fun inclusion. Anyway, that's that. Noah, final thoughts on
Most fighting
Injustice?
game players
Oh,
don't worry
sorry.
about the frames. I mean,
Okay.
you just learn them enough to know when when it's not your turn. You know what I mean? That's all it
Gotcha.
is.
Gotcha.
But
Noah, final
final
thoughts on
thoughts.
Injustice 2?
Injustice 2 is a fantastic sequel to a fantastic game from a fantastic company. It had minor issues. Great longevity, great new characters, an okay new story that looked amazing, sounded great. All in all, if you never played it, it is for sure worth a play. Has a ton of content, as we said. And yeah, I mean, I think the only travesty about it is that, there was some kind of mix up and they're doing Mortal Kombat 1 next instead of Injustice 3.
That's fair. Yeah, my conclusion, it's great. Like, I mean, for me, it's really hard to pick a favorite between Mortal Kombat and Injustice, because while Mortal Kombat is Mortal Kombat, and it certainly has that longevity of, we have played it for a long, long time, you and I, and I love the characters and the story. I mean, especially in later, the more recent Mortal Kombat games, the story absolutely kicks ass. The absolute theatricality of the Injustice games, with the stage transitions, the super moves, again, the story of both Gods Among Us and 2, is absolutely insane. And for, I mean, a comic book lover like myself, absolutely checks off every box I have for a comic book related video game in terms of the characters you see and the interactions they have and
Right,
everything.
complete
I
fan
absolutely love
service.
it. Complete fan service. I'm a fan, and I have been serviced.
Great. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Boone.
Yeah, thank you, Ed. I hope you like this episode, and if you have any issues of with what we've said about the game, you can just give us a call. We can talk about it. A big good friend of the show, Ed Boon is. A lot of people don't know that. And anyway, Noah, that's Injustice 2.
Great game.
That great game. Now we move on to the indie bit, the bit where we talk about indie games.
Yay.
Noah, today we're talking about What Remains of Edith Finch.
Yay.
What Remains of Edith Finch is a walking sim, so if you want to know the
Yay.
gameplay, it's a walking sim. You have the walk button and the interact button, and that's it. So the story. Oh boy. So this game is sad. It basically tells you the story going through the life of this family who is basically believed to be cursed because many of their children die at a young age. So you're walking through the house this family used to live in, as you're basically the last surviving member of this family. And as you explore all the different rooms of all the people, you basically then get to play through and experience how they all died. Hoo boy.
Yeah.
Noah, what did you think of What Remains of Edith Finch?
Jaden, I loved What Remains of Edith Finch. People have been telling me to play this game for years, and always walking simulators, I have a very hard time going for, as you know. And I wanted to tell you, damn you, twice in a row you nailed these walking sims out of the park. The last one was Last Day of June, which I loved. I thought the story was great. As long as I guess I figured out, as long as the story is good, I will enjoy it. This one, like Jaden said, it's super messed up. You're going room to room in this crazy, like house full of secret passageways and puzzles and nonsense going on. And as you go into each room, which is blocked off because the mom was crazy, and she didn't want to, deal with the past and all the deaths of her children, obviously, and her family.
I mean,
So,
I feel like that's a pretty reasonable reaction
yeah,
on her
whatever.
part,
There's
honestly.
a shrine and memorial in each room to each of these people. And I, like Jaden said, as you go through and you read about, and it's all in writing, which is cool. You go through and you read their journals or comic books or whatever, and then you play through that section of gameplay. In terms of the gameplay, it's done, there's one where a kid is swinging and you have to swing back and forth, and he's trying to swing all the way around on a branch and he flies off a cliff. There's one where, you're playing as a kid who's flying a kite during like a maelstrom, it ends up being. And then there's one where you're playing as a young boy in a bath. Well, you're playing as his toys as he's watching, and then you play as him. It's all very interestingly done. Extremely deep storytelling. I thought it was amazing. They used the world to assist in telling the story that only made its way through the journals and what you witnessed. They told us a lot without actually giving us very much information. And it was all made easy to keep track of because you have a book that's the family tree. And so that made it really easy to get it down as to who is who in this family. Overall, fantastic game, 10 out of 10. Would recommend any day.
No, I'll admit I did not expect you to have such high praise for it.
No, I played it all in one day because I played
It
it
is
for like
short. It
an
is short.
hour or two, and then I stopped and I was like, oh man, that was really fun. And later I was like, all right, well, I gotta finish that game because I gotta know what happens to the rest of these people.
Yeah, it is very interesting. Even gameplay wise for a walking sim, you do things where you're like playing as animals, which is really interesting. You're actually like
What about the one
playing a
where you're
comic book.
chopping
That's
the
very interesting.
tuna while you're also
Yeah,
playing a separate
chopping tuna while
game?
also, yeah, that was very interesting. Very cool. Noah, do you know this game actually at the Game Awards 2017 won Best Narrative? Funny enough, this game came out the same year as Injustice 2. Didn't think about that.
That's really funny.
This game won Best Narrative, beating out the likes of Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, Horizon Zero Dawn, Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus, and some crazy.
Wolfenstein.
That was a good. It
I
was
would not
anyway.
put that up there with the others.
So yeah, it was. Man, it was heavy. It sucked. It's so much death, and you have to play them as they're all dying in their dying moments. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it's well, you don't get it till a couple deaths in, and then you're like, okay, so I'm gonna play all these characters literally until they die. So
Yeah.
now, then you start out, and you're like, okay, I'm at the cannery.
Yeah. I
How am I
also.
gonna
Yeah.
die here?
Yeah, I also completely agree with what you said and how the way it's all told through like writings, like journals or comics or like letters, stuff like that, poems is all so interesting.
And it gives it this layer of personality
Yeah, and
that
like the
makes
there's
it
one
feel
where you're like
personal.
the story is basically being told through like cutscenes as you're taking pictures.
Oh yeah,
All,
that one was
all,
good. Yeah,
yeah, all
very,
very
very
interesting.
good storytelling, and it mixes with gameplay. Brilliant.
Yeah, I'll be honest, Noah, this game sucked for me to play through. Specifically because there's the young boy Gregory who is 22 months 20 months
Oh
22
yeah,
months
that one
old
is
when
scary.
he dies. That sucked. Yeah, like what I had to like I wanted to just talk to you about it because something that has never been said on the podcast where I have a 22 month old son, which is the exact same age, and that fuck that sucked playing through that, man. Like, and like the letter that was written from the dad to the mom, like talking
Oh
about like,
yeah,
oh, I
that was
think he was happy and he was in
crazy.
his own world
Oh, so
and I
sad.
don't blame you and oh my God, like I beat that section of the game and then I just sat on my couch for 5 minutes just crying. It sucked.
Yeah, that stuff is. I can't believe they did that. That stuff is crazy.
It's absolutely insane. Yeah, crazy story. But as you said, it is very good, and it's very short. I mean, you can beat the game, and I think my first playthrough took like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, but to a noteworthy story is one that sucks you back in like a
Oh,
black hole.
absolutely. Yeah. So anyway, Noah, that's my indie bit. What's your next indie bit? I already know what it is.
All right, well, I'll tell you, it did not, as far as I know, win any narrative awards, but I love the narrative in this game. It is Tales of Iron.
Oh,
Tales of
that's not
Iron,
what I thought.
I know. I know, that's not what
Oh,
you
he
thought.
really
Tales of
snuck out of
Iron
nowhere for this one.
is I was gonna do the next Assassin's Creed Chronicles, but I figure I'll just sprinkle them in around somewhere. I have played them. They're all on the channel or going up at some point. I can't remember. It's all in the future. As is Tales of Iron. I've played through all of that. It's on the channel. Yeah, I've told you a little bit about it. It's a cute little game. Kind of difficult. So, you know, I really hope you like it because I think it's interesting.
Okay, cool. I'll play it. We'll talk about it. That's another successful indie bit. Go us.
Woo!
Anyway, hey guys, don't forget new episodes every other Monday. Rate and subscribe. Tell us if you like our show or tell us if you don't and tell us why. Noah, you spelled tails wrong in your little thing you typed there. I'm just now noticing.
Jaden, think
Is
about
that
it.
how it's spelled?
That's how it's spelled.
Oh, wow.
Because
Okay.
they're mice. They're
Oh, I didn't know
rats.
it.
They're rats. My
Oh,
bad.
anyway, tell your friends and enemies about the podcast. You can follow our Instagram, the Super Gamer Bros, for updates on everything we do, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Super Gamer Bros, that is one word, capital S, capital G, capital B, period at the end, where we upload videos Monday through Friday, or every day, really. We play games together. Noah plays games by himself. Go check those out. And yeah, thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next game.
Bye.